Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 447, Golden Master Chief, recorded on October 19th, 2014. Everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, BioWolf.
And we are back with another full week of Halo news, thanks to IGN's first coverage of the Master Chief Collection, which is coming out very, very soon, just a little over 3 weeks away of when we're actually recording this, and probably just under 3 weeks from when you're listening to this. Good stuff coming. I cannot wait for this game. So much news. But First off, we have quite a few things, of course, coming from IGN. First thing we got this week was actually a couple of 1080p 60 frames per second classic Halo gameplays. So some videos from Halo CE and Halo 2 coming to the Master Chief Collection and just getting a glimpse at what those traditional classic graphics look like. And for those that played on the PC, nothing too new is out there in terms of what you can expect from the fidelity of the graphics. Halo 2 Vista still looks pretty good, so all those maps coming in kind of under that engine, it looks really good from the classical perspective. And Halo 1 still feels like Halo 1, even at the 60 frames per second. But even then, it works very smooth. It looks like just from the videos, I don't know if it's just because of it's the LAN setting, but a lot of stuff is kink. A lot of the network kinks are probably out of the builds for the engines and stuff like that, which looks a lot better. Hopefully, there's not as many networking issues, because I know for the couple of game nights that we've had Halo 2 Vista, we've had some networking issues. So hopefully, those have been somewhat resolved too with the integration of Live. But looking at some of the videos that got put out, those were definitely the kind of starters for the week. I don't know if it really had as much of an impact on some people. I know a lot of people were kind of looking for more information on Halo CE and Halo 2 and how they kind of look. So if you guys are looking for that, then those videos are the ones you want to look for. It's the CE looks like, what Halo CE looks like at 1080p 60fps. And then there's the Halo 2 Classic look at 1080p 60fps, which for Halo 2, they actually show Halo 2 Anniversary's campaign, the Halo 2 Anniversary multiplayer, and the Halo 2 Classic multiplayer. And of course, as we talked about last week, the Halo 2 Anniversary isn't quite fully 1080p. So take that with a little grain of salt.
Yeah, I've been talking with a couple of people on that. There's a lot of people that are discouraged that it's not full 1080p, and there's a lot of people that don't really pay any mind to it. So it's just really interesting. Like, what's your standpoint on it? Like, do you see any difference on that? Like, if for 1080, I'm sure we talked about it last week, but I can't remember. But 720p to me doesn't, or whatever it's going to be, I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference.
It's 1348 by 1080p, something along those lines. And I don't think people are going to notice it too much. I know it's a big hoopla of gamers for the most part of, oh, it's not true 1080p, or it's not true 720p for Xbox 360 games. And at that point, you're looking at a screen where you can't really even distinguish the difference between the pixels anyways. The only way you're going to be able to tell is if you're sitting 30 feet or less away from a freaking 90-inch TV or projector. At that point, you might tell the difference. Now, there is a significant difference for 60 frames per second because it does look a lot smoother, but in terms of pixel density, it's really hard to notice when you're actually sitting down and playing the game. And when you play the game, you really don't notice that much. I think the only time when it really comes into perspective is for PC gamers, or if you're on an Xbox and you're using a monitor in a sense where you're right up against it, that is when that starts to take effect and you look at those details and you're trying to kind of really get in there. But again, you're doing this on the only place this is affected is the Halo 2 Anniversary campaign. And knowing that it's running the original engine with the graphics and the audio, and then running the new engine in addition to it, it seems like an acceptable cut to it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, going back to the big screen, I don't know too many people that don't that play bigger than a 40-inch or a 50-inch. I mean, personally, myself, I play on a 37-inch, and to me, that's perfect. Everything is squeezed, and they're really good, and it looks great. I mean, I haven't seen anything bigger than that. So, yeah, I mean, it's – you're going to have to look from a different perspective, I guess, but – It is what it is for me. I'm just looking forward to playing it.
Well, I hope a lot of people are that way. And yeah, there are some little minor details, and we talked about those last week. But if you take a look at the entire experience that you're getting, it's freaking ridiculous that they're able to pull off dedicated servers, 1080p, 60 FPS on everything except the Halo 2 anniversary campaign. I mean, that's a technological feat in and of itself, really.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're going to have theater for Halo 2 anniversary and campaign and multiplayer, and you're going to be able to do the whole game clips with the Xbox record that or whatnot. I wonder how many people playing Xbox and that actually worked. listening to this, probably nobody, but anyways. There's just those the little nuances, yeah, they kind of suck, but they're not that detrimental to the game. For the most part. So just taking a step back and looking at the bigger picture, you're still getting a friggin' awesome deal with the Master Chief Collection.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're getting four games and one every map known to man for the thing. I mean, it's and plus you're getting a digital feature with it, with Halo Nightfall. I mean, you're getting an incredible deal. I mean, I've discussed that with different people, and they still can't believe that's all packed in one for $60.
And like the Halo 5 Guardians multiplayer beta.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, that's another little detail.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. This is something that 343 is really... they've been working their butts off on this. I mean, having the fact that they're having two projects. They have Halo 5 Guardians they're working on. I don't know how much in depth they are. But I just know that they had been working on two projects at once. And for them to do that, that's a lot of, that's a lot of effort to put into that.
It is.
That's crazy.
It's freaking nuts. Everything else, though, 1080p, 60 frames per second, dedicated servers for multiplayer. It's expected for the Xbox One platform, and it delivers with the Master Chief Collection as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
That's me personally. So those videos are up on IGN. We've linked them in articles on the website, which we've actually caught up to, by the way. New York Comic Con put me a little bit behind on actually posting stuff. So with everything going on, or not as much going on this week, I was able to catch up. So some of the articles were a bit late, but we're back on top of everything. We're current to date as far as I'm aware. As far as when you're listening to this recording, that might change a little bit, but I'm trying to stay on top of the news as much as possible now since we're very, very close to the launch of the game.
So close. The fact that I can see it on my dashboard right now, and it's loaded or preloaded.
It's taunting you.
It's just staring at me in the face. It's like, close, but it's not there yet.
You want to play me? Yes. That was freaky. I'm sorry. Next thing on the docket for the IGN news was a new Halo game that's not the Master Chief Collection, which is coming out. Halo Spartan Strike was announced for Windows devices, including Windows 8 for tablet and PC, and Windows Phone, as also as Steam. So you'll be able to play on Windows platforms through Steam. I don't believe you'll be able to play this on Mac or Linux. So, Spartan Strike is supposed to be the next lineup of games following Spartan Assault. There's some improvements in there. You can use some new vehicles, some new weapons. You get to fight Prometheans in this one. And you actually get to drive a new vehicle that's based off of a Mega Bloks set, if you can believe that or not.
That's cool.
It's called the VTOL. I forget what the first part of it. I'm looking it up right now. There's some new stuff in here. You actually start off in New Mombasa during the events of Halo 2. You're supposed to be trying to find an artifact that the Covenant is hard looking after, or trying to go find, and you're supposed to try to get there and get the artifact before they do. That's probably going to be your first few missions, and then you stop for a little bit. You jump to 2557 during the events of Halo 4, and then you go to Gamma Halo. So it's kind of being a bridge between what we're seeing in Halo 2 Anniversary and what's going to be coming down for Halo 5 Guardians. So we've already kind of seen a little bit of connection between with the cutscenes that they're doing and the whole trailer with the Arbiter and Agent Locke, how there's some Halo 2 ties in with Halo 5 Guardians. And this just keeps on building on this story arc that they're trying to connect back Halo 2 and trying to incorporate the new Halo universe that they're trying to unveil to us in Halo 5 Guardians. So a lot of the stuff that's going on in here is going to be related to the events of Halo 2 and Halo 5, of course, but or not exactly Halo 5, Halo 4 leading into Halo 5. So we're probably going to get some interesting story tidbits here that kind of give us a little direction on where Halo 5 Guardians could possibly be going. As far as playability, it looks very similar, and according to the IGN video that they posted on IGN First, it feels very similar to the Spartan Assault, but the controls have been a lot more refined. The targeting has been fixed on some things. You can drive a Warthog, you can use all the Promethean weapons, and you're going to be shooting Prometheans on Gamma Halo. And it starts with a 30 mission count. If you guys remember, Spartan Assault started with 25 missions, and then they added on 5 co-op missions later. But this is 30 co-op missions from the start, and right now it's only single player. It's going to be releasing on December 12th for $5.99. That's United States dollars. That's only going to be coming out on Windows. I do not have plans right now to be releasing on any other platforms, including Xbox, Android, and iPhone. So as far as getting on this game, then you might want to take a look at using Windows. Just like
Spartan Assault. Which I'm good.
Your Windows achievements are going to be synced across all Windows devices, as well as your progress. So, and that's something to note. And then the same thing for Steam. Steam has its own kind of segmented off achievements. So it's not like you're like a couple of games that were out there for Steam that were Windows enabled were like Fallout 3. It had Xbox Live or Games for Windows Live achievements, but you could actually buy it through Steam. But they're completely separate. You'll be able to, if you buy it on Steam, you'll be able to get the Steam achievements. And then if you buy it separately on the Windows Marketplace, you'll be able to get those achievements separately as well.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this. I mean, for $6, I really enjoyed Spartan Assault as it was. I liked it better on the tablet, though. I didn't really care for it on Xbox. It felt weird. So I like the fact that it's not coming to Xbox right away. That way I can actually play it on, like, but I have my Windows phone now, so I'm going to see how that goes. It's a little bit small, the screen, to play it, so I'm really looking forward to playing it as that, and especially that they have the vehicles in this time. I wish they had vehicles in Spartan Assault, so I'm really excited for this.
Well, they did. You drove the Scorpion, you drove the Ghost.
That's true. I forgot about that. I did. Like, it's been really? A while. Yeah, it's been a while.
You could drive a Wraith, I think.
Can you drive a Wraith?
I think so. I could be wrong.
I could be wrong, too. I was really... Okay, yeah. All right, you're all right.
But yeah, you can definitely drive vehicles in Spartan Assault, but you can drive more vehicles in Spartan Strike.
Right.
There you go. That's the gist of this little conversation that we're having, is you can drive the Warthog and you can drive the Kestrel VTOL. That's what it's called. It's based off one of the Reap X Mega Bloks set. So if it's the three disc like hovercraft thing, that's the
right.
They called it the Kestrel VTOL for this.
It's pretty cool that they're implementing something from Mega Bloks. That's pretty cool. I like that.
It is, but at the same time, I don't know. There's a certain group of us who collect Mega Bloks that didn't exactly like the Reap X series because it didn't feel Halo. It didn't feel like a Halo vehicle whenever it came out. And it was supposed to be like this... The Reap X line, for those who don't know, is supposed to be this offshoot of technology developed by Oni that's a combination of Covenant, Forerunner, and human technology. And the way that the sets came about, it was pretty much up to Megablock to design these things. And it just, they don't quite feel like UNSC vehicles. Even with the mindset that, yes, they are using Forerunner technology. Yes, they are using Covenant technology and trying to mix it in with human technology. It just didn't fit the feel of what we would see in a Halo game. Now, the fact that they've included it in a game now makes it more official, but you have to think about just where you're going in terms of what kind of defines the style for Halo. And I just didn't think the Repex series did it that well. So other than having the Kestrel VTOL in there, there's also, they removed the microtransactions, which a lot of people actually had issues with, strangely enough. I never actually used them. I know having or using real money to buy stuff in game, it's a very touchy subject for gamers. So I know a lot of people are going to be happy that there's no microtransactions in there. All the credits are in-game credits earned from completing stuff within Spartan Strike are actually tied to the Master Chief Collection. And on top of that, there's going to be 3 achievements in Spartan Strike, if you're playing it from the Windows Marketplace download, that will unlock entitlements in the Master Chief Collection. Now, entitlements, not exactly sure what that is. That's the word they used in the video. And I'm assuming it's going to be something like an emblem or an armor piece or something to that regard. Or possibly, they did mention kind of like nameplates that they were going to be doing for the Master Chief Collection. So it could be something along those lines as well. It's similar to the nameplates that you would see in Halo 3 and Reach. I think that's one of the things that they're kind of adding in here as well.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool to see. I like that stuff in Halo. I like the plates or whatever in Halo Reach. So I'm looking forward to it. It'd be pretty cool to see in Master Chief Collection. Kind of show it off.
Yeah, it was one of those things in Halo 3 too that a lot of people kind of stuck to. I know for me, the last one I did on there, I think was it's either Bungie or Seventh Column. I can't remember what I got locked in with Halo 3. And then Halo Reach, I'm pretty sure mine just says Bungie.
Yep, mine says Bungie too. That's the only thing that mine has. It used to have some like tribal looking thing on there. I don't remember which one that was. I can't remember.
Oh, wasn't it like an emblem looking one in a sense?
Yeah, like it was, it looked like triangular. Like I can't remember exactly what it was. I was also rolling with the I think it was the battle rifle.
Uh-huh.
Or not the battle rifle, the DMR.
Oh, that's, yeah. That was one of the other ones I was in there. Yeah, there were quite a few of them. I know for Halo Reach, you could select like Halo 1, 2, 3, or ODST as well as nameplates.
Yeah.
And then there's some other ones.
Yeah, there was a bunch.
So you'll get some of those. And I believe they also said in the video too that some of the stuff that you unlock in Spartan Strike, in the Master Chief Collection also can get you unlocks for Spartan Strike. And I don't know if that's just credits that you can use, similar to how for Halo 4, if you got certain achievements or something, you could have unlockables in Spartan Assault. So I'm not sure how integrated that system's going to be.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't really know how that would work either.
So anyways, that was the next piece of news. It was something that I think quite a few people were not expecting for the most part, to have another part of the studio working on another twin stick shooter. And because I know a lot of people are looking at the Master Chief Collection as the next big Halo title. And then Halo 5 Guardians, like everyone is trying to get that down to a science for the multiplayer and for the, well, I don't know. We haven't really heard much about the campaign, so I wouldn't assume too much, but multiplayer, we're getting the beta out super early just so they can nail that thing. I don't know with the development here for Spartan Strike if that's really taken away any dev time, but I think I remember seeing a couple comments as like, I thought everyone was working on Halo 5 Guardians or the Master Chief Collection at this point. We have another set of people working on this other game?
Yeah.
So after Spartan Strike, we have the announcement of a campaign leaderboard. So we actually talked a little bit last week, maybe hinted on this a little bit with the achievement list that we saw for the par time and the par score. Well, now there's going to be a leaderboard that you can use when you're doing runs in Halo. So for campaign, you'll have this tracker for your best score, best time that you have for each campaign mission. And the cool thing about this is you can go in and see how other people are doing on their campaign runs, what their highest score is for a level, what their fastest time is. And they kind of advertise it as a speedrunning tool for those that do speedruns. And also, there's a rival system as well. So once you go in and check your friend stats, you can mark someone as a rival. And then when you go into game and play it, you can actually get pretty much what I call a pseudo live time update of where your friends are during kind of where you would be. I say pseudo because it's hard to distinguish progress in campaigns, so they actually do it on the checkpoints for if you're ahead or behind someone on time for your rival. And then the points are actually updated live. So as you were to go on a time basis for you playing the level, the seconds are going to pass by, and as many points as one person gets on your rival list, then those will pop up. And there's a little UI element that's at the bottom right hand of the screen, and I believe this is going to be for every campaign mission that's there. It's an interesting idea. I know a lot of stuff for games in the marketplace have some kind of scoreboard or leaderboard that you can look into, but not many retail games have it. What do you think of this, having this in here, BioWolf? What from scoring system?
I mean, this is awesome. I mean, I was like that with Trials. I liked how you could see where your friend's time was. And I love the fact that you can compare all that stuff to, like, the speed running of the campaign. Like, that's just something I like, being really competitive with certain things like that for time stuff. So I'm really liking it. I like the fact that they do that in there. I know Naked Eli, he's on my friends list. It's going to be really interesting to see how fast he can, like, run through it. So, like, maybe try to beat his time or beat how fast he did it. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Which would be pretty much impossible. Maybe possible for the first couple months that it's out. But as he practices more and more and more, he's going to get a lot better at doing the runs for the campaign. But I don't know. He could be just sticking to Lazo and trying to get that because he has the achievement after him for Halo 4. But yeah. Who knows for the other campaign. He might just go all Rambo on it and have some of the best runtimes. There's going to be some other people there. I forget who the big speedrunners are for Halo. I should know them. But it's been one part of the Halo community I haven't reached out to the best. So that should probably change. But there's a group of them out there that do the high-speed Halo stuff. And there's a guy recently who was trying to, I think, reclaim his speedrunning title for Halo 2, something like that. And it's really interesting to see what kind of audiences he's getting. It's something more recently that has gained a lot of attention. 343's been putting out articles about it, putting tweets out about when they're happening and all that stuff. So it's definitely one of those little areas of the community that I guess 343 really enjoys and wants to support. And having the rivals in here is going to be a pretty good way to do that, both in score and time.
I'm really looking forward to see where people can go. Like, who's going to be the fastest this week and who's going to be the fastest the week after that. Like, it's something I paid close attention to. Lately, I haven't. But, like, when Halo 4 was first came out,
uh-huh.
I was like, I wonder how fast someone could have beat this. Because I played it by myself and I tried to go on as fast as I could without speedrunning it just to see, like, how, like, the flow worked with it.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I wonder how fast people can really get through this. And I was just watching some of the YouTube videos and the stats and stuff. I was like, that's insane.
They do some pretty interesting stuff, especially the speedrunners, because there's little tricks that you can use to get past certain areas or despawn stuff and whatnot. I have a feeling a lot of those glitches for the Master Chief Collection are not going to work quite as well. Just a hunch, because of, I know for Halo 2, a lot of the glitches and the super bouncing stuff was because of the limited frame rate and the limiting processing power of the Xbox. So, we've discussed this on the podcast before, but unfortunately for some people that really liked to exploit that for some reason or another, a lot of the glitches that you remember are going to be pulled out just simply from the fact that you're running on better hardware, you're running on the Xbox One, you have 1080p 60 frames per second, so the resolution and the calculations on the angles of that and not projecting you up at 1,000 miles an hour is going to be a lot more accurate, and you're not going to get that nearly as often either.
Yeah, I mean, running on next-gen hardware is definitely going to fix a lot of that stuff, which kind of sucks because I know a lot of people were looking forward to all those different tricks you could do to get through things. It's going to be interesting to see what new ways to get through it to replace that.
Yeah, like what the devs have put in there as far as Easter eggs or stuff they didn't quite fully get yet. That'd be interesting to see. I'm wondering how much of the Halo 2 engine is going to kind of stay intact for that stuff. So if you switch to like classic mode or something and then try to perform one of those weird glitches to get out of the campaign level or something, I wonder if you could actually do that with the Halo 2 anniversary engine as well.
It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, it's just kind of an interesting thought experiment because on the one hand, you have the older engine running, and then on the other hand, you have the newer engine running. So it's almost like, for lack of a better word, which style do you kind of go with? So moving on, next thing that we have is there's going to be a new leaderboard system implemented in the game. We talked about this on the last podcast a little bit when we talked about the IGN first stuff with the achievement list. We saw some par score and par times in there. So this is going to kind of tie into this whole leaderboard thing. What this actually is will let you track your progress in terms of how you compare up to your friends online. So who gets like the best score, the best runtime, and they kind of tout it a little bit as a speedrunning tool. So if you guys have heard of like High Impact Halo or High Speed Halo, they've done some, they're a community of speedrunners and actually try to go through the campaign as fast as possible. They find glitches in the map to where you can get through certain places a lot faster, a lot quicker like that. So this is going to be one of those things that speedrunners might use to kind of help do like segment out times and compare their times to others. Maybe if there's a certain map that they need to work on where other speedrunners have managed to do it in less time, that they can focus on that. So they kind of tell it as that. But another cool thing about the leaderboard system is you have rivals. And how you implement that, yeah, I know, right? And how you implement that is you actually go into your career stats, and there's going to be a little section under that for leaderboard and everything. And you can do it that way, or you can also, whenever you load up a level, you can go in, whatever level you load up, it has a little kind of widget area on the right. You can go over there, see like the top three of your friends on that leaderboard system. And if you hit A on that, you go into this bigger UI that shows the leaderboard for everyone in there, for all your friends. And if you select on somebody, you can actually set them as a rival. And then when you go in game, there's actually a HUD element that pops up at the bottom right part of your screen that shows your progress against your rival's progress in real time.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's one thing that I really liked about Trials is you could see people's times when you go through it. So this being in Halo is something that I'm really going to enjoy, especially with all the friends that I have, like kind of competition-wise, to see if you can get through it faster. So it's going to be a really interesting thing to have in the Chief Collection. I'm really going to enjoy. I'm going to use the crap out of it.
Good, because I'm not sure how much I would use it. I'm not a huge speedrunner, and while I do see kind of this system, and it's supposed to be an evolution of the Halo 3, Halo Reach, Halo ODST scoring systems that they had in there in the part times. And if you remember from ODST, they had a couple of achievements for getting certain scores on Firefight and that kind of stuff. But as far as using it to compete against people, I'm not much of a person to really compete against any particular person in campaign, so I'm not sure if I would use it that much. But I can definitely see where certain parts of the community would want to utilize some kind of tool like this. And it is pretty cool that you actually have real-time update. And it's, I mean, if you think about like Mario Kart, it's like having a ghost in there. You can't actually see what they're doing because every time the game is different in terms of where enemies spawn, how they react and whatnot. But for the most part, you're getting a live time update on score. And then what they do is whenever you reach a certain checkpoint, they'll basically have like, are you on time? Are you in front of your rivals? Are you behind your rivals? And then actually color code those based on what your progress is. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. A lot of people I know wish that they had that beforehand. So it's really cool that we're going to see it now. Especially, like, I know Naked Eli, he's a huge person for
that. Oh, yeah, he would use the heck out of this.
And I'm following him on Xbox, so I'm really going to try to push it to see where he goes, like, how fast he can do it. So trying to see, like, how he could do certain things. Like, it's going to be really interesting what tactics people do, you know, how to get past this one part faster than one another.
Well, one of the interesting things you have to think about when you're doing this, though, for Halo CE and Halo 2 is because you're upping the graphics to 1080p or pseudo 1080p for Halo 2 Anniversary, 60 frames per second, you're going to get into situations where glitches that may have worked before because of frame rate issues or processing power limited to the Xbox is not going to be there anymore. So there's going to be some glitches, I think, that are going to not be in there anymore, and it's going to make speedrunning harder for certain games. And there may even be new glitches in maybe the new graphics that you can exploit in the new system. So I wonder what people are going to do for speedrunning. Is it going to be strictly you need to use the latest campaign to do the speedrunning, or is it going to be something where you can switch back and forth based on maybe there's certain glitches that work in the new engine versus certain glitches that work in the old engine? There's just a lot of different elements in there, and I don't know if for something like High Speed Halo, if they're going to come out with like a standardized settings they have to use, or you can only use one engine or another engine, stuff like that. So it's just a couple things to consider whenever you're doing the speed runs.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what new tactics people can throw in there, like that kind of replace the old way of doing things on Halo. Like maybe I don't have examples, but like it's really going to be really interesting to see what people throw on the YouTube channels to replace all these certain old things that they were known to do to get things through faster.
Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in the leaderboard system, definitely check out the video that's on IGN. It's actually pretty cool. They go through a little other tidbit of information in the video, even though it's primarily focused on leaderboard. And that's if you go into your career stats and go to your achievements, you can select any one of the achievements, and then the game will pop you into the right playlist or the right map with the correct settings that you need in order to get the achievement. So one of the ones that they demoed off was one of the campaign ones, I think, for Halo 2 or Halo 4, and it was already pre-populated with the right skulls, the right difficulty, and all that stuff in order to get the achievement. And that kind of harkens back a little bit to what they did for the challenges in Reach, where if you would go into the little challenges menu, you could click on it, and if it was a multiplayer thing or campaign thing, you could say, go to campaign or go to multiplayer, and it would automatically pre-configure the settings that you need in order to complete the challenge. So they're basically doing that here with the achievements, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's going to be really useful too. Like, it's going to make things a lot simpler. So if you're just looking for that particular achievement, you're not going to have to sit there and like, oh, what skull is it going to have? You know,
right,
all these different things. So it's really, a lot of people are looking forward to this to make things a little bit more easier. And also like making like guides for certain things will be easier. That way, if they're going through, they're not going to sit there and be like, oh, I forgot to do this. Like, it's just going to be right there.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be rather interesting. Can't wait to see what they're going to be doing for the speedruns. I would like to see them just use new engine only because it is the Master Chief Collection. And was there a big community out there for doing speedruns for Halo CE Anniversary? I'm assuming there wasn't.
I don't know. That's a good question. I only know people of CE Anniversary running through it really quickly. I don't really follow up. Yeah. I don't really follow that too much. I just know a couple people that do speedruns. So I don't really keep up with that. So I don't really know. That's a good question.
Maybe we'll have a speedrunner on here at some point and actually talk to him about it.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe. Get Naked Eli back on the show.
Yeah, there you go.
Moving right along, next little tidbit of information that we got is some maps that some people may not have played. I know for a lot of people here at Podtacular, where we've done PC game nights, at least for Halo 2, you may have heard of a couple of the maps that are coming, but for those who have never touched Halo on the PC, you all are in for a treat because you're going to get 8 new maps. New in a sense. They're maps from Halo CE for PC and Halo 2 Vista, And there's six of them from Halo 1, two from Halo 2. You guys have probably seen one already. If you remember Ridgeline, that was remade for Halo CE Anniversary. That was Timberland from Halo CE on the PC. That was a remake of that map. And it was actually, I believe they said it was 80% smaller, and it was the first map where you could actually forge trees, which drove everyone absolutely crazy. But that's the one other map that you would have possibly heard about that resembled one of these eight maps that came from the PC. But if you haven't played for the PC, the six maps that you're going to get from the PC side of things, from Halo CE, it's Ice Fields, Danger Canyon, Death Island, Gephyrophobia, I always butcher that one, and Infinity. Those are the six maps. Was that six? Ice Fields, Infinity, Danger Canyon, Death Island, Timberland, yeah, and Gephyrophobia.
Yeah, six.
Yeah. So those are the ones from Halo PC that, or Halo CE for the PC that you're going to see. And then from Halo 2 Vista is District and Uplift.
Yeah, this is really cool. I mean, I haven't played any of these maps. So going into Halo CE with the familiar maps that I'm playing and then going in there and seeing something new is really cool to see. One of the things that my friends would say, he's a huge Halo PC person. Like, he plays Halo 2 and Halo CE all the time. He tried to get me to play him. I don't know anything about the map. So it's going to be, I won't know where to go. So getting familiarized with those is going to be really interesting to get.
Have you played Halo 2 Vista? I can't remember if you've joined one of those game nights or not.
No, I haven't. I've never played Halo on a PC ever.
Okay.
So it's going to be a new experience for me. I'm going to be a newbie in this.
Well, I'm sure there's some other people out there that have not been playing these too, so you're not going to be the only newbie out there.
Yeah.
And I believe it's actually pronounced Gephyrophobia.
Sounds hard to pronounce.
Yeah, Gephyrophobia. Gephyrophobia. And in the IGN video, when they actually talked about this, they kind of hearkened this back to Narrows a bit, because it's basically this big canyon with a bridge on it, and there's two actual side platforms that have banshees on it that you can use. And this map is, well, all the PC maps from Halo CE that you're going to be getting as quote-unquote new maps, they're all big team maps, pretty much. Nice. A lot of the smaller sandbox ones kind of made it in, and progressively Halo maps have gotten smaller, actually. So if you're wanting to actually see some pretty big maps from the original Halo days, you're in for a treat on all these maps that are coming from the PC side of things. And then from Halo 2 Vista, we have District, which is, if you think about it, part of this section from the Halo 2 campaign. I believe it's called, which part is it? New Mombasa. It's the one where you crash down from the Pelican and you start to make your way through the alley. But it's basically that campaign map built out a little bit more, and it's big. It's basically big team. It supports pretty well Capture the Flag, Slayer, from what I've played on Halo 2 Vista. And then the other one is Uplift, which is a little bit smaller. It still supports big team, whole 8v8 if you wanted to go, but it fits very comfortably with 6v6. And it's a very good CTF, multi-team, Slayer type of map as well.
I'm trying to think of the one you're talking about, the first one you're saying. Was that a remake in Halo Reach for Anniversary?
District?
Is that the one I'm thinking? Yeah, is that the one I'm thinking of, or is that different?
No, that was Timberlands.
That's what it was. All right.
That was remade as Ridgeline.
Okay. All right, yeah. I'm trying to think of the one you're talking about. I'm just trying to envision it.
It's the one with all the trees.
Right, no. I'm talking about the one where there's use the Pelican's jet engine for a gravity lift, I'm remembering. Like, it's in Halo Reach, like they remade it. I don't remember if that was a Halo 1 or Halo 2 map. I'm trying to think. It has like the city for like a view, and it has like the building with the crane.
This is in Halo Reach?
Yeah. I think it was a Halo 2 map, if I remember correctly.
I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about, to be honest. Are you talking about one of the anniversary ones that were remade?
Yeah, it's one of the anniversary It was an anniversary map pack in Halo Reach.
The Tombstone remake?
It might
be. I mean,
there
were six maps, or five maps, in there that were remade.
Yeah, you had Beaver Creek,
Headlong,
Pinnacle.
Timberland.
I'm trying to think of the other one. I don't know. Anyway.
Okay. moving right along then. Next up on the news is kind of a conglomerate of things. On Friday, it was announced that Halo had gone gold. So, good times for Halo. We have another 23 or so days now from recording this. And with that, we also get the ability to pre-order and pre-download it. So if you're going the digital route, you can go buy the game now. And you'll still get the Boom Skull as the Microsoft pre-order bonus if you're going through the marketplace for that. And you can already pre-download it now. It's a 45 gig install. And then there's going to be a separate 20 gig install that delivers the rest of the content basically as a launch day title update. Apparently, the game was so big that it would not be able to fit on one disc. So what they're doing is they're adding a 20 gig download to download the rest of the multiplayer while you can still enjoy the campaign while it's downloading. The only caveat to that is Spartan Ops is not going to be available until December. So but you'll have access to everything else. You have access to the multiplayer, have access to the campaign, have access to Nightfall, but you are not going to be able to play Spartan Ops until December, which kind of sucks, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's not that big of a deal to me. I mean, I'm going to be really occupied with other things. So, I mean, for achievement-wise...
So many achievements.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember if there were any specific Spartan Ops achievements in the achievement list, were there? I think it was all campaign, for the most part, minus a few of the general category ones for killing a certain amount of enemies and whatnot.
Me? I don't remember.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
I think. I'm not sure. Even though we read that list all the way through, I still can't remember.
Yeah, that was a long freaking list. And if you guys are listening to this, we actually reposted that whole list up on our website and actually categorized it a little bit to where you can go through and find out what some of the achievements are by category. So there's one in there for doing campaign completion. There's sections in there for Easter eggs, for terminals, for skulls, for progress on your par score, your par time, and some of the other things that kind of tie in with the achievements there, just from a category perspective. So if you haven't checked that out yet, head on over to our website, and you might like the order of that a little bit more than the IGN one. I think it helps break it down and gives you the ability to read it a little bit easier, but I wrote the article, so I could be biased, which I probably am. But check it out. I think it's going to be a little easier. But we still have the whole interface that's coming to the career stats UI. So you're going to be able to track your achievements that way, which is really handy. And if I remember right, the video that they showed of it actually shows it grouped by game, which is similar to how IGN grouped it, too. So you can go and filter in the overall achievements, the Halo 1, 2, 3, or 4 specific achievements. And then within that, you can kind of dial down into, okay, maybe I want to go work on this achievement, or maybe I want to wait on some friends to work on this achievement, and then we'll go after it, yada, yada, yada. So making the achievements trackable in that stats UI, I think is going to be a lifesaver for a lot of people. Because I remember going, on, when I'm on the 360, pulling up the dashboard, going over to achievements, and then having to scroll all the way down to see what few last achievements I didn't have. But the UI for this thing in the Master Chief Collection looks really solid, to where you're not really going to have to fumble around trying to find what last achievements that you need on here. You're going to get a pretty good idea just from looking at your career history.
Yeah, it's going to be really useful. There's a lot of things in Master Chief Collection that's going to be really useful to a lot of people.
I think a lot of the UI stuff is some of the things that are being radically changed in here. And I'm hoping some of that carries over to Halo 5 Guardians. I hope 343 has kind of learned the lesson of what really makes a good UI for first-person shooter. And it seems like they're still kind of sticking to the whole glowing corners things, but it seems like they've, compared to Halo 4, of course, they've kind of shrunk down the UI elements a little bit to where it's a little more user-friendly, which is nice. So moving on, kind of within that announcement, of course, was the 20 gig install and lots of other things coming down the pipeline for launch. Of course, Nightfall is coming out on the day of, and there's also something else that was in the bulletin this week, which I haven't read too closely yet, but just kind of seeing some of the news on Twitter does give an adequate update of what's going on. But they have the universal control schemes all listed out on the bulletin. Now, for those who may not quite be aware, the universal control schemes are ones that you can choose that will be applied across every single Halo game that's in the Master Chief Collection. If you don't want to use a universal control scheme, though, you can still go and use the classic control schemes that came with the games after you dial into that game-specific UI, and you can go and select your controller there. And the game will remember what controller setting that you have per game. It's not something that you have to go and reset every time. But it's going to be... I'm going to try using the universal control schemes first and see how that goes.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I didn't use Bumper Jumper on Halo 2. So going back to Halo 2 and playing Bumper Jumper on it is going to be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be really... I'm honestly finding this even like awesome that you can sit there and just pick a control scheme or layout that you want and then just throwing it on there for all of them. Because a lot of people were asking, what game was it that had both games in there? Like, you know, you had to go through and have different things with that. But yeah, I'm really happy that they have, you can just choose overall.
I think it's going to make a lot of people happy because I know from when we do our game nights, hopping from Halo 3 to Halo 4 to Halo Reach is always an interesting experiment that you go from one controller scheme field to another controller scheme field to another and all that stuff. It gets confusing because
I go from
Halo 4 to Halo 3, it's like, I mean to go melee and instead I'm throwing grenades. It's like, that's not what I meant to do.
Yeah. I've always been Bumper Jumper guy though. So anything that I play has always been Bumper Jumper, and I'm really happy that they put Bumper Jumper in there and as one of the ones that you can actually see as a layout. I know a lot of people that play Bumper Jumper. That and Southpaw. I know a lot of people that use Southpaw. I don't understand how they use it. It's too confusing for me, but all the power to them.
I honestly stick with default. It works for me. The only other one, well, I used to use Boxer because I would go up and punch the heck out of people, but I've kind of switched back to just the default. It feels pretty comfortable. I understand that Green Thumb and Bumper Jumper are a little bit more of the style for people that usually come in and do competitive gameplay, but for me, default's going to work pretty well, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I went to play at my friend's house, he uses the default controller, and it's weird because that's what I started off of, and I don't remember it at all. Like, I don't remember, like, just me throwing grenades is... I don't exactly remember what it was, like me punching stuff. Like, it was really weird. So it's default for me is really really confusing.
Fair enough. To each their own, as long as you don't play inverted. Like, oh, Frankie. Did I say that out loud?
Uh-oh.
Sorry, Frankie, we love you. Please don't hate. Also in the bulletin, they kind of went over some of the control definitions and what everything's going to be, and within here we've kind of got the hint that Halo 2 Anniversary is going to have a theater mode for Halo 2, and I think recently they said it was going to be for the campaign in addition to the multiplayer as well, so that'd be cool.
Yeah, a lot of people were discouraged in Halo 4 that we didn't have a theater mode in campaign.
Yeah, you could technically hack it to enable it, but it's still a hack, and Microsoft, unfortunately, looks frowningly at that.
Yeah, so I'm really happy that we have that, because there's a lot of screenshot stuff I did in Halo 3 with the campaign stuff, and I know a lot of people did a lot of campaign stuff like that. Certain things would happen, like with Brutes or Elites or some funny thing, and we didn't get to see that for any of the Prometheans or anything like that for Halo 4, so it's going to be really cool to see from a screenshot spotlight stuff. Like, it's going to be interesting to see that from theater mode.
I bet it is. I'm looking forward to it because they're going to be, I mean, just look at how pretty Halo 2 Anniversary already is. Being able to get screenshots from that, it's going to be freaking amazing. And I'm wondering what resolution the screenshots are going to be in, because I know for Halo 4, the screen resolutions were always in the 16:9 aspect ratio. And I think it didn't really go past the whole 1920x1080, but even still, if they're able to export maybe bigger size images, it'd be cool to utilize a service, kind of how they did in, or like how Bungie did in Halo 3. You could order prints. That would be kind of cool, I think.
Yeah, that'd be really neat.
So,
well, I was just going to say, going to the thing, the pictures that we have for the waypoint, like from Halo 2 Anniversary now, aren't those 1080? Or just, were those like enhanced in any way?
My gut reaction would be to say maybe it's not 1080p because of the whole, the game is not full 1080p for the campaign side of things. And I think we talked about that last time, right? Yeah, it was. Yeah, because it was one of those finer detail things for the first week. So yeah, it's not, the campaign itself is not full 1080p. So I don't know if the renderer might output full 1080p and just kind of redraw the image to where it renders like that. But I don't know. It'd be cool to have an image that comes out bigger than the 1080p, but even if we just get the ability to use theater and screenshots in campaign and multiplayer for Halo 2 Anniversary, that's still a significant bump up, I think, compared to what we had in Halo 4, which was just Ewing multiplayer.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
So kind of continuing on in the bulletin a little bit before we jump back to the IGN stuff and kind of wrap up, there's another cannon fodder done by Grim Brother One, and this time he kind of goes over some of the details between Halo 2 and Halo 3, or actually, sorry, leading up to Halo 2, where the Covenant comes, finds Earth. So quite a bit of this stuff is already explained in the games, but Grim, of course, goes a little deeper into it, gives a little more background on the characters and why certain things were done. We're not going to get into it We're not going to get into it too much this week, but if you want to go over and read it, definitely go check it out. Grim Brother One always has some good, valuable insight for the Halo mythos, so to speak. And now, since he's there, it's official. But also in the bulletin, there is an update for Halo 4, just letting you know that there's been some updates to some playlists. Team Objectives has an update. Proving Ground has a update. Team Objective actually is going to include Oddball, Ricochet, King of the Hill, Regicide, Dominion Light, and Extraction. And they also have a little note in here, is since they resolved all of the Halo 4 DLC achievement issues, a lot of those things should have already fixed themselves. So we did talk about this last week, where they put out a tweet saying all the DLC errors were fixed. And a lot of people were reporting that they were getting upwards of 16, 17, 18, 18 achievements that they were supposed to earn from the DLC. So if you haven't had a chance to kind of hop on Halo 4, make sure you go do that. Check that you have all your achievements. And who knows, maybe you get surprised with 300 achievement points.
Yeah, that was really cool when it popped up for me. I wasn't really expecting it.
Was expecting it.
It boosted me up to the 18,000 I was trying to get to. So that was really cool. It was a really awesome surprise.
That's kind of cool. At the near the bottom of the bulletin, they kind of do a highlight on the 343 Guildhall Lantern, which of course is being hosted by our friends over at halo.bungie.org. And just by looking at a couple of the entrants so far, this is going to be a tough year to judge. It really is.
Oh yeah. There's a lot of creative people out there that are putting their hand in it.
I'm surprised how they did some of this stuff, to be honest, especially the Master Chief one, how it looks like there's flame coming off of his back.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I would honestly really like to know how people do that. I mean, and the amount of time that they put into this, like, it's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have the patience to draw something that intricate.
So I mean, there's a lot of there's a lot of people I know that they say it's really relaxing. Like it's it kind of helps with stress.
I don't doubt it. There's certain escapes for everybody, and if pumpkin carving's your thing, then pumpkin carving's your thing.
Yeah, isn't there a TV show that comes on every year?
Like on HGTV or TLC or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Beats me.
But yeah, it's going to be really hard to judge from these screenshots. It's going to be really hard to judge this year.
Yeah. And are they, I don't remember, do they limit the number of entrants that can apply?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
Because I want to say last year there was either like 45 or 50 finalists or something. Does that ring a bell at all? Or
and I didn't. Looking at them. I didn't actually follow into it. I just seen people throwing pictures up left and right, and I was just liking them. I was like, this is really cool.
Got it. Moving on back to the IGN First stuff. Unless, do you want to look at the screenshots for the bulletin, Mr. Beowulf? There's only four up there this time. If people haven't gone on and actually seen the bulletin, there's only four screenshots there. I don't know. It looks like they all just kind of go to their media file, and they used to have 10, but I'm guessing with maybe the possibility of a job and working at the same time, may not be it, but anyways.
I didn't get to look at them this week, so I didn't.
Yeah.
No offense to anybody, I didn't check them out.
Yeah, it's. I mean, this week's been crazy enough for us, anyways. As you guys probably can tell by the late release of this episode. But anyways, out of the four that I see there, though, I'm honestly gonna have to go with Receptor 17, Electric Field. I really like that one.
Man, he's on it, boy.
Getting some really mad love from Podtacular brethren.
Yeah. So
hoorah!
Good job, Receptor.
Way to go! All right, back over to the IGN stuff. Last thing that we want to talk about is the Blood Gulch remake video, or the walkthrough that they did with that IGN did with Max Overman from Certain Affinity. This was one of those maps where we didn't quite have that much information and we hadn't had much gameplay on it, but we finally have a walkthrough video that goes through a lot of the finer details of Blood Gulch. And there are some pretty significant changes.
Yeah, there's no downstairs in the bases where the Banshee used to be.
Right, so that was more of an element from Halo 1 that they took.
Yeah.
And whenever you watch the video, and I highly encourage you to, whether through the video that we have on our page or through IGN, just take a listen to some of the design processes and thoughts that they put in there. Because basically what Max said is whoever was the lead designer for doing Bloodline as a remake basically tried to take all the best elements of all the Blood Gulch / Coagulation maps that have been made so far and kind of throw them into one nice big presentation. So it would have included Blood Gulch from Halo 1, Coagulation from Halo 2, and Hemorrhage from Halo Reach. Halo 3's Valhalla and Halo 4's Ragnarok doesn't exactly count as Blood Gulch, even though they were kind of inspired by it, but you're looking at the best, for the most part, of three different worlds that this map has been in. And just to kind of talk about taking some of the best, like Beowulf said, there's no bottom base, kind of leaves some exposure. There is a little jump up under the arch ramp that would go to the base. So if you were on, whichever base you're on, it's on the left side of the base if you're facing out. So there's actually the little jump up down there. So what would have been the jump down in Coagulation, that's now kind of a little jump up straight to the outside instead of going down to what was second floor. Banshees have been replaced by Hornets.
Just an interesting touch to it.
Yep, and they still have rockets on the Hornets. No word on targeting, but I think I saw a tweet somewhere said that there is no targeting for the missiles, so they're just straight shot. That could change. They could be wrong too, but from what we've seen, it will probably still be all right.
Yeah. Another thing that we've seen that a lot of people were wondering when we seen that screenshot with those giant lights would turn out to, or which turn out to be EMPs.
That was kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, that was really neat. But there's a lot of people, though, that are saying that's going to be... It's a good thing and it's a bad thing, because people that just like to troll, that could just go in there and just constantly EMP. That way there's no vehicle combat. That's one thing. But
so I'm sure there's a recharge time on the EMP.
Yeah, I mean, that's expected. Personally, in my idea, I think that was a really good touch that they did. I really like it, especially like if you're having a lot of fire and like someone on your team throws out that EMP and it saves your life. It's going to be a really awesome feature for this map.
Right. I could just imagine if someone goes in there and forges a Banshee or something, they come in for a dive bomb to grab a flag or something, and someone just activates the EMP and then they just fall out of the sky. That would be freaking awesome.
Yeah. The amount of fails that we're going to see come from this is going to be hilarious.
That's going to be nuts.
Yeah.
I'm so looking forward to like 3 and 4 hour three flag CTF matches on this with tanks and the Hornets and the Warthogs and all that stuff. It's going to be so much fun.
Oh, it's going to be crazy. I mean, the amount of time that people are going to put into this just in this particular map is going to be insane. There's a lot of people that were saying, you know, this is the map that everybody's been waiting for. And the fact that they're taking aspects from different maps and different things from 1, 2, and Reach, it's a really cool thing. It's a really cool what Certain Affinity did with that.
Yeah. One other thing, too, that they also added was, remember how we saw that picture of the forgeable bridge they could be put in? Well, yeah. Now we know where that is supposed to be. So if you look at both both sides of the map, there's actually little ridges that pop up, and the bridges are kind of there to help provide cover if you're coming through like the cave or the open side cave for Red Base, I believe. And it just provides a little bit easier cover for people that are on foot from vehicles and from just being completely obliterated as you're approaching a base. And then there's also a central base as well that you can go in and help protect yourself, so where it's not just this all-out crazy game that's going on. And one of the things that I think it was Max that was actually talking about this, where the blue team side, they had control over that big hill so quickly where it was a little unbalanced, so they put that middle base in to kind of help balance things out. And all the weapons replacements are the same, but in that middle building, there is a shotgun. So there's actually 3 shotguns on this map instead of the traditional 2. So that is something to watch out for if you plan to go to middle base and camp. Just watch out for shotguns.
Mm.
Shotgun. I said shotgun.
There's a lot of people I know that like to do that. Just to camp in that one little spot and just wait for somebody to come out there and just get them. That's right. So I'm sure we're going to see a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that was changed was the what I was saying before was the building structure type deal with the pillars. That used to be rocks, which they changed. Max Hoberman was talking about that in the video. I don't know what to call it. It's not a complete building. It's a
the pillars.
I'm just gonna go with that for right now.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. I think did they call them pillars? I think they called them pillars.
He called it structure, I think, if I remember correctly.
Whatever. It still fits the purpose pretty well though for what it replaced.
Yeah.
So. But Blood Gulch, I mean, guys, this map looks phenomenal. Just like all the other maps, it looks just gorgeous and fantastic. And I know a lot of people have been really looking forward to seeing Blood Gulch actually playable or played after we saw the art for it. So it's nice to finally get some closure on what's been kind of going on with Blood Gulch. Because that was, I mean, in my opinion, at least, that was one of the maps that we had the least amount of information for. And we finally have all this information flood out about Blood Gulch. So I'm happy. I'm sure Beowulf, you're happy too.
Oh, I really
we're
can't
all have
wait to
heard
play
Halo, like nerd Halo flu or something right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great time to be a Halo fan. That phrase has been going around for a while. And if you've been playing Halo for from Halo 1, from Halo 2, like you, it's a great time to just be in the hype with all this. one thing that I noticed and I was excited for the most, there was two things. I mean, everything that was we seen was really cool, but the two things that really got my attention was the silenced SMG. We didn't get to see actual anybody shoot it or anything, but those were actually in there and you could see them pop up to actually grab. And the sniper. I'm going to say it every time I see it in a video. The sniper sounds incredible and it looks incredible. That crack, that the 50 caliber sound of that power of that. I mean, getting a headshot is going to be the most successful feeling in my personal opinion. I really can't wait to play it.
Okay. I think that's actually going to wrap it up. We covered all the stuff from IGN First for this past week. And of course, we'll be covering more news next week as we do this. And again, for everyone listening, sorry to such the late post of this. Mine and Beowulf's weekends just got completely crazy and messed up. So it's just one of those things that, you know, we're still here doing the podcast. We still do it, whether or not we're live. Well, still doing anyways, so you guys will probably be hearing this on the Tuesday after I post this. So, if you're listening to us then, well, there you go. Let's see, wrapping up some other things. Make sure you guys check out the covers that we're doing. PodTacular.com is where you can find all the stuff. We're trying to stay on top of everything now since we're caught up. So all the news that comes out on IGN, we're trying to repost as soon as possible. So please, if you like what you're seeing, please go over there, share the post with people, and please go to our forums and help discuss what's going on. Converse with some of the other Halo fans that are with us on the website and just kind of dive into the conversations of some of the things. We're getting a lot of information. There's not too much time to really go into deep conversations about it, but the forums are a good place to kind of foster that discussion, so I highly encourage everyone who's listening to this, if you have not done so already, please go register for the forums. Please go and contribute to the discussion and let your voice be heard in the Podtacular community. We want to shout out our podcast network, which is thepodka.st. They are a network of podcasts that are similar to ours, focusing on gaming-specific stuff, for at least for the most part. Includes podcasts like Guardian Radio, Critcast, Reachcast, How to Murder Time, and Work in Progress. If you guys are looking for other podcasts you listen to that are gaming related and just similar personalities to what we're doing here, then I suggest you check them out. They're really good podcasts. They have really good quality. And all the guys that I've met with so far that have run all those podcasts are really, really cool guys. Something that I haven't announced in a while, which I had a real life friend of mine kind of bring up, is we have not asked for voicemails in a while. So if you guys want to dial in and hear your voice heard on the show, then we actually have a number for you to do that. And we might actually, it would be interesting to open that line up for launch night. We'll talk about that possibly a little bit later. But if you want to get a hold of us, talk to us about anything Halo related, whether it's a story, whether it's something just random that you found in the game or something, then you can give our voicemail a call at 240-200-HALO. That's 240-200-4256. And leave a message that's no longer than, say, 90 seconds, maybe 2 minutes max, so we can actually play on the show. Once we get enough of those, we'll, of course, talk about them. And, of course, our mailbox is a little lonely, too, so if you want to drop us a written line instead of an audio line, then you can do that by sending an email to submissions@podtacular.com. Or you can, of course, head on over to the website, hit the big submit button on the top, and that'll take you to a form where you can fill out and ask your questions or tell us about your cool Halo stuff there as well. If you guys haven't already, make sure you go check out our New York Comic Con coverage over at Halo Collector. They were our guests on for last week, and they were kind enough to get me to New York Comic Con to help cover the stuff. So a huge shout out to them. And we also did a short podcast with Megablocks collectors, more specifically. So Tim, Philippe, and Maxine from Megablocks were there showing off some of the new stuff. And I actually got to sit and talk with them about the development process for some of their Halo line. And more specifically, details about the Scarab and how they undertook that, how they worked with developers from the game and assets to actually make the models and mold it into this final product. So I highly encourage you guys to check that podcast out as well. It's a special. It should be on your RSS podcatcher feed, whatever you use to listen to us. So you should have that downloaded already. If not, of course, just visit the website. Lastly, we normally do recordings of our podcast on Thursdays, but because of all the IGN coverage that has been going on, we've moved our recordings to Fridays / Saturdays. Just because of all the stuff that is going on with us on the weekends, we can't guarantee live shows all the time right now, but once we get to the launch of the Master Chief Collection, hopefully we will be doing live shows for you then. So stay tuned to that. And of course, whenever we do that, we'll make an announcement. But if you want to do some regular stuff on Tuesdays, we have Tactical Tuesdays, which is at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And then on Wednesdays, we have Wacky Wednesdays, which is our Halo 4 Customs Night. And that is also at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's going to wrap it up for us, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning it out for this kind of long podcast. We know that there's a lot of news out there, and we're trying to cover succinctly enough for you to absorb and listen to it with your ears. And we hope that you will stick around with us until the launch of the Master Chief Collection, which is so close.
Oh, man. It's...
You excited?
It's... Dude, the exciting is not a word that's in the vocabulary. Like, it's past that. I can't wait. I really can't. It's sitting on the dashboard right now, just staring at me in the face to get unlocked. And I'm like, so,
yeah, I'm waiting to get my press copy.
Lucky.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for listening to us. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we hope that you guys will be around for the next one. Of course, lots of Halo news coming out, so make sure you stay tuned to podtacular.com, and we'll try to keep you updated with the up-to-date news as much as possible. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, keep on fragging Bloodline.